Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser said it all.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for yet another episode. On this episode, I have the sinister minister of fear, Robert Warmace, on the show. We talk about Dick the Bruiser, Bob Luce, Buddy Roberts, and much, much more. So let's just get right to it. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have my interview with the sinister minister of fear.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Phil Sinter Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit PhilSingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, FilSingerGames.com to order now. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams. Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
And welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by the sinister minister of fear, Robert Warmus. Bob, how are you?
I'm pretty good, David. Double D, how are you, my friend? I've been waiting a long time to talk to you.
It's definitely a long time coming, right? I mean, we've spoke a lot online and everything else and floated around each other. But yeah, it's been a long time. It's hard to believe you've not been on yet.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's amazing how, you know, I know you were always asking me about all my tapes of Bruiser and Monsters of the Mat and the WWA days. And then, you know, got that together. But then when I got linked up with the Savaldis and they transferred everything to USB, hell, my career started taking off again. It's amazing after 40 years.
Yeah. We'll talk all about that. Yes. Savaldi, they're friends of the show, right? They're big supporters of theirs and their library and their service. But let's start. Tell us a little bit about where you're from and where you grew up.
Well, I was born on Pearl Harbor Day, 1954, in Queens, New York. And we moved to Chicago in 1960. And I basically grew up in a south suburb of Chicago, where I actually currently live now.
Okay, gotcha. Well, Queens, man, that's home of the Ramones. And
yeah, home of the Ramones. And actually where I was first exposed to professional wrestling. So my first memories of professional wrestling were in 1959.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next. When tell us about that first exposure when you first discovered pro wrestling.
Well, in 1959, although I was only 5 years old, my grandparents watched pro wrestling on the Madison Square Garden Network, and I'll never forget my first match watching on TV, black and white, was Dr. Big Bill Miller against Argentina Roca.
Yeah.
And I saw that, and as a five-year-old, it was just, it was amazing. Bruno Sammartino was on that card, and I don't remember too much after that, but as I got older, you know, I really followed Bruno. You know, I just loved it. And when we moved to Chicago, I was exposed, you know, to Midwest wrestling. And I would say as I got into my preteens, like 10, 11, 12, I used to watch, you know, Bob Luce on Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I used to watch Bob Luce on Sunday mornings. Yeah, I can hear you. Okay. I watched Bob Luce on Sunday mornings and was exposed to Vern Gagne, Bruiser, Crusher. I mean, you name it. And I just became a tremendous fan. As a teenager, I would go to the International Amphitheater to see matches. As I just got older, I kept following wrestling. I was a mark. You know, and those were the days of kayfabe. And, you know, I mean, the lines were blurred between reality and sport. But, I mean, I was a tremendous fan.
Yeah. And then speaking of Bob Luce, your entry into wrestling kind of came from a chance meeting with Bob Luce when you were selling cars,
it's
correct?
Yeah, I sure was. I was the general manager of a place called John Morton Buick on the south side of Chicago, which was right around, you could walk to White Sox Park back then. And once again, I was a big fan. I never missed shows. I used to travel and go to shows with friends. And Bob Luce walked into the showroom floor, and I sold him a brand new 1985 Buick LeSabre. And after, you know, I sold him the car, him and I went out that night to a bar called Sophie's Tavern on Ashland Avenue. Mm-hmm. And we sat there. I got off work at 9 o'clock. We stayed there till 3 a.m. And it was funny because he told me, he says, Bob, you've told me more about wrestling than I even knew. I mean, that's how big of a fan I was. And I never thought nothing of it after that. I thought it was cool. And then he got a hold of me in 1986. I had since moved on to another dealership, and he was down on his luck, and he got a hold on me, and he said, hey, is there any chance that you could hire me as a car salesman and teach me the business? So lo and behold, I did. We were at a place called Lombard Lincoln Mercury, used cars. And one day he was a lot of people didn't notice. He was a really renowned artist. I mean, he could sketch anything. I found out later that he would hand draw all of his posters, right?
Yeah.
So one day I was sitting in my office and he goes, hey, Bob, you got a minute? And I go, yeah. So he walks in and he's got like a cocktail napkin, and he opened it up and he said, how would you like to be this guy? And it was a black and white drawing of a guy with a derby hat with a skeleton. And I says, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, Bruiser and I got a new TV show we're going to be starting, Monsters of the Mat. And how would you like to be one of the main focus of the show? And I said, man, I mean, that would be my wildest dreams. And Bruiser was a hero of mine, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like 30. I would have been 32 years old then in 1986. And I said, well, who am I going to be? What are you going to call me? He says, give me a second. You're going to be the sinister minister of fear. And he jotted that down. And lo and behold, that was how that came about. And he, about a week or two later, we both left the car business. We got in the car and we drove to Indianapolis, and I went to Bruiser's house. And I had this, I mean, I was a mark, and I was meeting my hero. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what a day that was when I met Bruiser. Oh my goodness. I got goosebumps talking about it now.
Yeah.
We went to his house.
Well, yeah. And tell us, though.
He lived on Kessler Boulevard.
Right. Right. And yeah, his house is very nice. I went by it many times when I lived in Indiana, just to see the house that Bruiser lived in. And, you know, he's renowned. You know, he had the urinal in his bathroom and all that stuff. And
he had a swimming pool, in-ground pool in the back.
Yeah, like you said, that had to be a very daunting thing to be at Bruiser's house and meet him like that.
Oh, my goodness. We got there, and, you know, he was in the backyard in his shorts and his tank top, white shorts, blue tank top. I can remember it like it was yesterday. And my father was a tremendous wrestling fan, along with my younger brother. And my father had just had a heart attack, and he was in the hospital. And I told Bruiser about it, and Bruiser said, put him on the phone. I called my dad. I said, Dad, you'll never guess who. And Bruiser got on the phone and talked to him on my father while he was in the hospital. And as most people know, Bruiser's voice was not a work. I mean, that was his voice. Yep. And, you know, it was, you know, unmistakable. And, you know, and that meant the world to me. And then he showed me an eagle cage that Bobby Heenan used to clean. And then the next thing I knew, he hip tossed me right into the swimming pool. So, you know, back in those days, you didn't have to go unless you were up in Canada or at the Hearts Dungeon or in Minnesota with Vern. You know, you learned on the fly. You know, you learned the business on the fly. And Bruiser and Luce were my mentors. And lo and behold, Monsters of the Mat was born. You know, and it was, I'll tell you, I was like living a dream. I loved it.
Yeah, and that early Sinister Minister of Fear character on the Monsters of it was quite a bit different than what you became later and everything else. It was more of a it's hard. How do you describe it? It's
I don't know. You know, it was, you know, it started off. I was just supposed to be a character. You know, the first episode, it was so corny. You know, I did this thing that I looked in a crystal ball, and you know, I did all that and I played the guitar, but believe it or not, on Channel 26, and also it was on Channel 55 in Milwaukee, people hated me so much, they sent letters in that they wanted to see me in the ring, you know, and I always was able to take a good bump, but I never was able to put my hands on anybody else. But the first event I was at was at the Hammond Civic Center, and I was Morton Downey Jr.'s manager when he wrestled Bob Luce's wife.
Yeah.
And you know, that led to a feud with Calypso Jim, a.k.a. Bobo Jr., and, you know, Scott Rex Steiner, who's Scott Steiner. And it just blew up where, then lo and behold, I started getting in some tag matches. One of my first matches, my first actual match was in Fredonia, Wisconsin, against the Bounty Hunter. But then you just had a guy I wrestled a long time ago, El Bracero, on. I actually worked with him in the ring.
Yeah.
And what happened was I always hated that gimmick because I thought I was like a knockoff of Mr. Fuji, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I hated the gimmick. So I was doing a house show in Fort Wayne, and I got to meet Buddy Roberts.
Yeah.
In 1989, I think it was.
Yeah.
And Buddy said, hey, man, you know, we got an opening with World Class. And I'm a biker. I mean, I still have a Harley, an Indian. And I went down. Buddy got me hooked up in Dallas. And I met them. And, you know, they said, well, you can't be a biker. You already, you know, we got the Irwins. I go, well, you know, they're not even real bikers. So long story short, I got to change my gimmick. And then I ran with the Chicago Freebirds, which also was great, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and tell us though, when you're doing the Monsters of the Mess, right? You mentioned a lot of the Bruiser Bedlam guys, right? The WWE Bruiser. What was that? How did that work?
Yes.
That connection, that synergy between the Bruiser Bedlam show and your Monsters of the Mess. What was that agreement work? How did that work?
Yeah. Well, here's what happened. We taped Monsters of the Mat in Indianapolis at American Cable Vision of Indianapolis by Bruiser's house. Mm-hmm. So we would leave Chicago, Luce and I, and whatever other guys we had. I'll tell you a funny story about that later. We would drive to Indy, and we would put four shows in the can, right? Mm-hmm. So it would be 4 weeks, because that show, Monsters of the Mat, was an hour long. So yeah, it was infused with Bob Luce's Hall of Fame film classics. Mm-hmm. Then Bruiser would do the Bruiser Bedlam, which he taped in Detroit, the matches.
Yep.
And then they would plug in our live interview segments, which was the tie-in to events we had in Chicago. So it was a wonderful marriage. When we did the spot shows in Chicago under the banner of WWA, you know, we used to work those nightclubs, Cats, where Bruiser would come in. And yeah, it was just a wonderful, wonderful marriage. And I'll tell you, I made some great friends. I was great friends with Moose Jolak, may he rest in peace. The Wild Polynesian Man, Shotgun Willie. I mean, Calypso and I are still in touch all the time. I love him to death. He's a year older than me. Thank God he's still promoting. Yeah. And so that was the tie-in to Monsters of the Mat. And it lasted on Chicago television for 56 weeks. It was very successful.
Yeah. Yeah, Calypso. Yeah, Calypso was
he's so a mentor. It was, you know.
I'm sorry, Calypso. Yeah, Calypso was a mentor of mine, too. I worked with him and wrestled with him a lot in my early days. And when he was, you know, as now I was doing the Bo Jr. thing. And he was always a mentor of mine and always helped me and such a great guy. And so I'm always curious. Oh, though.
He's a wonderful, wonderful guy.
Yeah. And I'm curious because you had this past as a car salesman and then you transitioned into wrestling. I would think, that, hey, there's some common skills between those two that would help you. That some of that stuff you didn't use as used car salesman would help you a little bit in wrestling.
Oh yeah, I was great with the mic, man. I mean, you know, and back in those days, as you know, nothing was scripted, nothing. You know, we would get to Indianapolis, and Luce would give us the idea of what we were, you know, the crux of what he wanted to do, and man, it was a hot mic, and we just went with it, and whatever came out, and you know, right now, I mean, it's amazing. This guy, I got my own YouTube channel now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This guy, Mark Warburton, he's a professional soccer coach in England. He did a 57-second clip of where me and Monster Number One were doing, I'm going to give him one of these and give him one of those, which was what I came up with. And it has 576,000 views on YouTube right now.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing that people like that stuff, you know?
Yeah, that clip is everywhere. If you look up, you know, things, you know, if you look,
I know it.
It's everywhere about that promo. It's funny. And like you mentioned, right?
There's people that actually believe it's the greatest promo ever.
I know. Yeah. And there's all this, right? There's lots of this footage out there, lots of those promos you did and the shows you did and everything else. But they were very wacky, very crazy. So tell us about some, that had to be.
Yes, we were
just fun days of cutting those promos and doing that stuff.
Oh, I'm telling you, we would, like I said, we'd leave early in the morning to go to Indy and we'd be on the road. And I mean, we would just cut those promos and we would have such a great time. Then we'd go down and eat dinner. And when we got involved with Leon Spinks and we would bring him down there. Oh
yeah. Yeah.
Those were some of the funniest times. Early on, I was the first one. I had a pine box that was made for me by some carpenters. And I used to drive that down to Indy out of the back of a station wagon. This coffin was sticking out of the back, you know. And, you know, we would just get there. And I'm telling you, it was so much fun. And then even, you know, kayfabe being so strong,
mm-hmm.
Bruiser would fly in. He would never drive from Indianapolis. I would pick Bruiser up. He always had me pick him up at the airport. I mean, Bruiser and I became friends. Yeah. But you never, ever, ever saw us together. And, you know, we protected kayfabe. And, you know, to me, I mean, it was like the mafia back then. You know, I mean, I didn't know what kayfabe was until somebody shouted it out in the locker room my first time, you know. And then, you know, you just learned everything. And, you know, and all the times I worked with Calypso, you know, I never got hurt. You know, but you know, I mean, obviously you had some bumps and bruises and well, you know, you were in the business, but it was just so much different. And I'm not taking away from what they're doing now, but you know, come on. I mean, how many times what used to be a finish, you know, they kick out, they kick out of some finishes and, you know, a chair or a table was a very good high spot. Now you see it 10 or 15 times in a match. And it just, to me, it just seems to have taken away from everything, but people don't care anymore. You know,
that's right. That's right. And you mentioned Leon Spinks. I was going to bring him up because he worked, you know, worked with Bruiser Bailey, worked, feuded with the Great Wojo, had some wrestler boxer matches. He did more than people think, but you got tied into that feud.
Oh yes.
And working with him and everything else. And
yes, Leon was,
Leon was, but tell me a little bit about that experience of working with Leon.
Well, you know, he did the thing with Wojo. May he rest in peace. That was very, very sad in Toledo. Yeah. And so then he did the thing in Toledo. And then he got a job here in Chicago working at Ditka's restaurant. And Buddy and I, Wally Phillips, who was a big time DJ on WGN, he got a hold of us. I believe it would have been 1988 or 89, I don't remember, but the Cubs made the playoffs. They were playing the San Francisco 49ers or San Francisco Giants in the playoffs. Yeah. And they wanted some Chicago, they wanted some Chicago quote quote bad guys. They got a hold of Luce. He said, "Hey man, I can give you the Chicago Freebird." So they have they had us go to Ditka's restaurant and we met Leon there.
Yeah.
So then Luce got the idea of working an angle, having a match in Chicago with Wojo, with the Freebirds being in Wojo's corner. So Buddy and I had the task of hiring Leon, which we, which we did. We went to his apartment and met his wife, Betty, and we hired Leon. And that's that other clip where we were Bruiser. We did a spot show at Cats, and that's that 9-minute clip that's on where Buddy ends up saying, with Leon's wife, "It's not beneath me to slap a broad like you." And that went viral.
Yeah.
And we had that feud in the mat, and we promoted it on our Chicago Challenge TV show, which was mine and Buddy's show when we had that short-lived promotion. And the match was scheduled for the Hammond Civic Center, and it never came off. Everything fell apart when mine and Buddy's promotion went by the wayside. Yeah. But yeah, working with Leon. And I have the raw, well, of course, Savaldi's put them on, but I got the interviews. It's like 31 minutes. Me, Buddy, Bruiser, Leon, Betty, Luce. Those were some classic, classic interviews. The ones with Bruiser where he was starting to lose it then. He was stumbling on his words sometimes.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
those were great, great clips. I love Bruiser. I mean,
You talked about Luce and the, you know, "Hey, I can give you the Chicago Freebird." It's funny because if you look, especially if you look at your YouTube channel or you do a search of you, you popped up on a lot of stuff, right? The Jerry Lee Lewis telethon, the Chicago branch, some news.
Oh, yeah.
There's even a clip of you, you know, at the WrestleMania 3, whatever you call it. I can't remember, whatever that's called.
Yep.
We're in Chicago and they're talking
at the Vic Theater. They paid me to do that.
Yeah. And it's funny because,
it was great. You know, Luce.
Well, I'm just going to say, if you look at your YouTube channel, you popped up on a lot of those things as kind of a representative of Chicago wrestling, right? A local guy to put in those clips. And you did a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. And I was always, you know, back in those days, you know, you didn't have social media. So you're always out self-promoting, doing things. All those commercials on Monsters of the Man. Luce and I used to go to the places. I'd be in my gimmick And we would shoot these commercials live with the people. And, you know, it was a whole different ballgame, which is what shocked the hell out of me when I got involved in 2023, a couple summers ago, you know, with that goofy promoter here in Chicago. But, you know, the amazing thing was what always aggravated me, that people would run into me like well after I was done. And they'd say, you know, we look you up and we can't find anything. And then James Mitchell stole part of my gimmick in 1999.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, 13 years after me. And yep. I'll never forget Bob Luce because he was still alive then. And he said, it's the greatest compliment you can have somebody steal your gimmick, you know? Yeah. And of course, he only took part of it. He called himself Sinister Minister, not the Sinister Minister of Fear. So now, you know, thanks to Jim bringing me in and putting me in his Hall of Fame in 2023 when I went to Indianapolis.
Yep.
That's when it all kicked back off again, you know.
Yeah. What's funny? I think I wasn't there, but I'm in Calypso's Hall of Fame as well. I think you and I may have been in the same class.
Were you there in April of 2020?
No. I couldn't make it because I was living in North Carolina at the time. I didn't make it, but he sent me.
He put you in that class.
Yeah, I think so because he sent me a plaque and everything.
You
I've got
the plaque, huh?
Yep, and he.
Fantastic!
Yeah, and I think you and I were in that. I think yeah, you, I maybe went, we're in the I same went class. To that,
Miranda. Oh, that'd be great. Miranda Gordy inducted me.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah. That's pretty cool. But you talked about. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
That's a whole other.
Yeah. Well, you talked about the whole bad street. We'll get to that. When you talked about meeting Buddy Roberts, and there's a whole big story about that, right? Because you met Buddy at that show, like you said, but then Buddy reached out to you, wanting to kind of get a fresh start, and he moved to Chicago and wound up living with you for a few years, right?
He lived with me. He lived with me for almost 2 years. Yeah. I mean, and it was crazy. I was out of the car business. I got a job in construction, and I was running a job at 900 North Michigan, the high rise. Mm-hmm. I got Buddy a job. So Buddy and I worked construction during the day, and we promoted our Chicago Challenge at night in the Buddy Roberts Wrestling Academy School. And may Buddy rest in peace. That was 2 years of also one of the greatest times of my life. The people that I met through Buddy was, you know, and, you know, we did the Chicago Challenge Wrestling TV show, which only had 7 episodes, because we were paying Luce $1,500 a week to do the production.
Yeah.
we couldn't keep it going. Until I'm sure you heard that story I had about where Buddy took a piss outside the bar and we lost
$10,000. That's Sam DeZero. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
Sam DeZero.
Sam DeZero, Windy City Wrestling, formerly of the World Warriors. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you know, Buddy got throat cancer. And we kind of went ways, and it was sad, and you know, stayed in, but it wasn't the same. But yeah, that was we're so close to making it. We would, who knows, if we would have got that $10,000 from Old Style and got that match, you know.
Yeah.
But Buddy and I love booking and promoting with Buddy. We had some great shows. I still got the paperwork at the payouts. We brought Jim in. Jim would come in. I've got the ring from Indianapolis. Those were great times. But, of course, you know, I got to meet, you know, I got the great picture with Mick Foley. I got to meet, you know, Michael and a lot of great guys.
Yeah, and again,
World Class Championship Wrestling, you know.
Yeah, and another shout-out to our friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling, the Savaldis. Don't they have your episodes of Chicago Challenge Wrestling up there where you can watch it on their service?
They sure do. They
that's
they
right.
have them on there. And let me tell you something. Buddy is one of the most underrated. What a great worker he was.
Sure.
I mean, he was fantastic. And we did some dark shows where him and I did spot shows that's tagged up, and it was great. You know, you know, it was fantastic. And the only thing I got out of that was after, you know, we lost the sponsorship were the two jackets, but he gave me the badge, this Freebird jacket and another jacket, you know, and those are hanging up in my closet.
Yeah. And it's funny because people remember Buddy, obviously, from the Freebirds. That's primarily, but man, Buddy had a great career even prior to the Freebirds. The Blonde Bombers and all these things.
Yes, he did.
Hollywood Blondes. That's what I meant. Yeah, Hollywood Blondes. He had a great career even prior to the Freebirds. And just a great talent.
Yes, he did. Yes, he was a great worker. You know, Michael, when he did get to the Freebirds, Michael was the talker. And, Buddy did the job and the working. But, you know, and I learned a lot from Budrow. We spent a lot of time on the road together, you know, plus he was living with me, for God's sakes. You know?
Sure. So. Did you ever get any heat with Michael Hayes or Terry Gordy or anybody for what you were doing with Buddy and using that Chicago?
Well, no,
name?
as a matter of fact, we did a show in Northern Illinois University in DeKalb, and Michael came back to the house, and we were running with the Chicago Freebird thing. And, Buddy would wear the Bad Street shirt, but we had Chicago Freebird shirts that I wore. And no, we never got any heat because, you know, Buddy went his separate ways, you know. Mm-hmm. Terry was doing, well, I think it was after his stroke and that sad story. And, sure, you know, Michael had moved on, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
And it didn't really come back until two summers ago with the whole Miranda. Bad Street thing in my jacket, you know. That was funny.
So. Yeah, which is Miranda Gordy, right, who you mentioned earlier. There was a thing that came up with
her. Yeah, she was all... Yeah, she was all cool with it because we were working a show and Calypso paid her good money to come in and she inducted me and mm-hmm. I was actually wearing the jacket. But then when the event came around, all of a sudden she didn't know me. She hated me. She was going to call Michael because I was selling Bad Street shirts and none of that ever came to be. I never heard from Michael. There's no copyright on it. And, you know, I got the video footage of me and Buddy being together. So, you know, it's shit don't lie. It's on tape.
Yeah, well, that's pro wrestling, right? That's how it goes. And you talked
that's
about
where I got a bad taste. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say you talked about you and Buddy getting into World Class there. Tell us about that when you went to World Class and what was that like working for them?
Oh, you know, Fritz was to me he was a gentleman. Of course, I didn't have to deal with him. You know, every day we would fly in like every 5 or 6 weeks. You know, shoot some promos and that those are all property of them. But getting to, you know, get to know Mick Foley, getting to know, you know, the guys with that crew. And we would work the shows when they came to Chicago. They had a guy named Alan Dwyer, who was like a satellite of them up here in Chicago in the Midwest. So Matt Bourne would come up. They would kind of send a B team, you know. Yeah. Michael wasn't a B team, but Michael would come in and he'd work with me and Buddy. I got to know and be around Kerry Von Erich a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was some sad stuff there, but I got to know Kerry, met him. His wife would travel with him sometimes. But that was kind of the big time, you know? I really had a lot of fun with Mick Foley, though. He was really a pleasure to be around, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Great, great guy. Learned a lot back then.
Yeah, and of course, you know, you talked about Buddy Roberts.
We did a thing live on WGN Radio with a guy named Al Lerner. He would have people come in and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
When his show started, he had me, Buddy and Michael as the guests to do the Pledge of Allegiance. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's funny. You've mentioned WGN a couple times. I don't know if people grasp now how big WGN, it was one of the first national cable stations out there with what they were doing.
Oh yeah. It was, but wrestling in Chicago between WGN, Chet Kopic was another one.
Yeah.
Like I said, Wally Phillips, they covered wrestling in Chicago because back then it was considered more of a sport. Although, I mean, it didn't get sporting headlines, but you find it, you know, on the back three pages of the sports section. So, you know, and once again, you know, the way you had to promote back then was, you know, you'd go out with hundreds of posters and you'd hang them up and you'd contact Luce would send press releases out to the media, you know, that's how I ended up doing all those interviews.
Yeah, man. I remember those days of you know, paper in towns and putting up flyers and, you know, trying to get a book and you had to send a resume, a photo, you know, VCR tape and all. Oh man, it was a lot of work and sometimes you never heard back. It was crazy.
I still got my letter of rejection from the WWF when I sent him my demo tape.
Yeah. And it's funny because when I grew up, WGN was a big part of my life. And several Chicago things, you know, like I'm a huge baseball fan. I watched a lot of Cubs games because that was there. It was available. I love Bozo the Clown, which is a Chicago picture.
That's why I was a Cub. That's why I grew up. Yeah, that's why I grew up a Cubs fan in the 1960s when you came home from school, the Cubs were on TV.
Yeah, so it's funny because when I grew up, it was if you wanted to watch baseball, typically you had to watch Cubs games or you had to watch Braves games out of Atlanta, and TBS or WGN, and so that's what it was. But again, I grew up on Bozo the Clown. I just thought that was a piece of my childhood. And never realizing how much of a Chicago thing that was, because I got WGN and I just watched it all the time.
Yeah,
we still have
WGN here. It's just not superstation. It's not a superstation anymore. You know,
that's right. Yeah,
but yeah, those, like I said, those days are great. And you know, I'm going to be 71 this year, right?
Whew, yeah,
and I'm so like even getting a chance to talk to you, but. You know, I was so happy that Calypso found me on Facebook. You know, he got it through my son. My son remembered Calypso when my son was like 9, 10 years old. Yeah. And he reached out to my son, Eric, and said, are you, by the way, related? And he goes, yeah, it's my dad. And the next thing you know, me and Jim are talking, and it just revitalized everything. But the people I've got to meet along the way, like Rick Del Santo, and I did his podcast. The whole world of podcasts, like with me, it makes me feel so good that people care about what happened in the 70s and the 80s, and you know, and I love just hearing from people, and you know, it's just amazing now with YouTube. I signed more autographs now and 8x10s that I did back in the day.
Yeah. It's so funny.
And I still to this day, I can't charge people.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. Cause I think you and I bet we could do hours. Just you and I exchanging Calypso Jim over Zill Jr. stories. Cause I've got so many from interactive. I think we could just sit and exchange stories.
I'm sure you do. And he thinks the world of you, and
he's such a great.
Was it you or Rick that had Johnny Stewart on recently?
I did. I don't know if Rick did also, but I had Johnny on also. I did have Johnny on. Yeah.
And I think it was Rick because Rick sent me Johnny talked about me, and he said such nice things, and I really liked working with Johnny. We had a lot of fun when we did those bits. Yeah, he's a great guy.
It's wrestling is so funny because I haven't been in the same room with Calypso Jim for hell, I don't even know, 10 or 15 years probably. It's been a while. And last time was at a show.
Okay.
God, I don't even know where it was. Muncie? I think Muncie, Indiana. He was working the show. I was doing some commentary for a live stream. And that's and I told him, I went back to the locker room. I said, you know what, Bo? I said, we've never had a picture together all these years. And that night we got a picture together. But it's like every time I meet him, anytime I talk to him online, it's just like it was yesterday. We just pick up where we left off. It's such a business. Wrestling is such a wild business.
I hadn't seen him in over 30 years. And when we went to Indianapolis for the Hall of Fame, my son came with me. About 25 guys from my motorcycle club came. And when I saw him at the hotel, it was like we were in the ring working together 30 years ago. We just hugged it out. Yeah. And I brought all the – because by that time, Savaldi's had sent me all the USB stuff, and I showed him the old tapes, and he just went crazy. And I listened. I listened to when you had him, Jerry Graham, and I think somebody else on your podcast last summer. I think it was.
Yeah, I had the big Bruiser Bedlam get together and stuff. Yeah, it's funny because
it was great.
Yeah, when I started, you know, it's like you said, we were learning on the fly, on the spot, right there. But yes. Bo was always one of those guys that helped me. When I had a question and everybody else kind of would maybe shrug me off, not Bo. Bo would talk to me. He would help me.
Exactly.
And that's why I always consider him my greatest mentor in wrestling, because he was always there and listened
to me. Yeah, he was great. He was great. And I'll tell you else who was really, really good at that was Moose Sholok.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Moose was, what a gentleman. I mean, him and I, you know, we did a lot of work together, some great feuds. I don't know if you ever seen, Bob Luce had this thing on Group W Cable where it was like four shows, and, you know, it ended up finally but I was calling him fat and a slob, and we really got into it. And, you know, he gave me a good, we called him a, but we gave, but yeah. I went to Moose's wake. Yeah. He was something else. You know, those guys, I'm not in the locker rooms now. I don't know how the older guys are now, but Bruiser, Moose, even Vern Gagne. Vern, we picked him up at the airport many times. He was a gentleman. Sergeant Slaughter, he was a gentleman when we picked him up. Some great guys I met over the years, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think the kids nowadays understand that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's again, I'm so detached. I'm not, like you said, I'm not in the locker rooms. I don't, you know, I don't know. I don't feel that connection to the product anymore as much as I want to.
No, I watch it for the entertainment.
I actually enjoy
watching the female wrestlers have come such a long way.
Sure. Yeah.
But you know, the product now, it's just, I don't know. It you know, I watch it, I guess maybe because there's nothing else to do, but my eyes were open to the business how it is now, that, you know, two summers ago. And it really soured me, but I'd be more than willing to, you know, the nice thing when I go to a smaller independent show, like Jim wants me to come in for another one. I mean, I'm treated like royalty, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and those kids, compared to what I experienced up here in Chicago with the ones up here, but the guys that work for Jim and for the guy in Muncie, the Pitbull, those guys,
Pitbull,
fantastic, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, Pitbull. Mm-hmm. Pitbull. That was the show. Yeah, the last show that I met Jim at was one of Pitbull's shows there in Muncie.
And I'm probably going to come in for Jim. He really wants me. He wants me to come in. I may do something in October or November. I'll let you know.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because every once in a while I'll hear from Jim and he'll be like, "Hey, you want to do this?" I'm like, "Jim, buddy, I'm not in Indiana anymore." I'm like, "That's a little bit of travel." but we've talked a lot about Buddy Roberts. And you talked about how you kind of drifted apart a little bit. Well, Buddy passed away and passed away in 2012. Do you remember when you heard the news of his death and how they hit you?
Right. Well, yes, I sure do. And and again, when you're so close with somebody like that, it really made me, you know, I was sad for his son, Brandon.
Yeah.
And it was almost like when I heard of Bruiser's passing, that devastated me more than Bob Luce did, you know, because Luce was, I loved him too. Don't get me wrong. He was a mentor, but he did a lot of things for money, where Bruiser and I, you know, we had a special relationship, and that made me sad. And, you know, Buddy, he had a rough life, man. I mean, it's not all, you know, glamour. I mean, the top guys back then at World Class were making $400 a week. You know, I mean, it's not like it is today.
No. Well, and speaking of, right,
my biggest payday for a match.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I said my biggest payday for a match, I think the biggest, most I ever got was like, because I wasn't on a salary, but I got like $236 once from Fritz. But my first match with Bruiser, I mean, I was getting paid well at $50.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
So,
yeah.
But to me, it wasn't for the money, because I always had something to fall back on, you know, but a guy like Buddy, and even back, you know, till Buddy got the job with me, I mean, he was banging around all over the country, you know, making, you know, $400 a week, you know. I mean, it's nowhere near what it is today. And I didn't do none of that for the money. I did it for the love of the business.
Yep.
And
yep.
Of course, I was an egomaniac. It was great. You know?
That's
it
right. Great. That's right.
Especially going around in Chicago. I go to a White Sox game or a concert, and people go, "Holy shit, there's a Sinister Minister." You know.
Yeah.
I mean, my brother Jeff would get pissed off at me because we'd go. One time, we went to a David Bowie concert, and there was a line of people wanting my autograph. It used to make him mad.
Yeah. Well, and I'm telling you, everybody knows the Babaloose, the Al's famous roast beef. Commercials, but you and Buddy had, I don't know, maybe it's still there, had your picture up at Al's.
It's still, somebody sent me a text last week. It's still hanging up. It's actually right by the door.
There you go, man. Who can, it's there. Who else can say that? Yeah. And, but speaking of these things,
here I hear you.
Yeah. You've survived a few health scares of yourself here recently, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm currently, I have end-of-life stage 5 chronic kidney disease. I go to dialysis 3 days a week. Mm. And, you know, I had it yesterday. Obviously, I didn't have it today. It takes a little bit out of me when I come home. But I've learned to relax, rehydrate. The next day, I mean, I did my weightlifting session before I called you. And you know, I still ride my motorcycle. I'm still out there. Doing things. My left arm, because they put the needles right into my bicep, I told Jim, if I come out, we're going to have to put an X on my left arm. Funny story about Bruiser. He once had a broken ankle, and he worked in the ring, and he had an X on his boots, so we all knew to stay away from that that leg.
There you go. Yeah. well
yeah,
like
but
said,
other than that, you know, obviously if I don't go...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, right,
if I don't go to dialysis, I'm in trouble. But you know, you know, I get my treatments, they clean my blood, and off I go.
Yeah. And like you said, the last couple of years, you've been out there a lot more, right? You know, making some appearances, showing up at some events.
Doing some
things like that. That's got to be wild for you after that big gap of kind of being out there in the public eye a little bit.
Well, you know, when I did that. Actual got in the ring in July, or it was in 2023, my first time back in 30 years. We did a spot show at a bar, and I wrestled a young kid from freelance wrestling here in Chicago. He was 18 years old. It was about 16 or 17 minutes, but I had a blast. It's on YouTube, my comeback. And you know, the way I taught this young kid the storyline and how we were going to tell the story and what we did, you know, and it was great. It was a squash job on my end, but the ending of the story was fantastic. And it just brought back so many memories, but I'll do some stuff for Calypso and that, but you know, other than that, you know, or being with guys like you, that's what I want to do now. You know, I'd be happy to be, you know, a mentor, but be honest with you, most of these young kids, you know, they don't want to know about the old days. You know, they look for shortcuts. They look for shortcuts and how to get, you know, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, you're out there, right? You pop up here and there. You've got a lot of stuff, like we said, on the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. A lot of people can see you. A lot of stuff on YouTube. Right? So you're getting a lot of exposure. So what's next? What's next for the Sinister Minister of Fear? You got anything in the works, any projects, any ideas percolating?
Well, what I want to do, believe it or not, I Jim and I were talking. I still have a lot of contacts here in Chicago. And if we can figure out a way for him to bring the ring up here and do a few things up here, that might be it. My son and I are going to do some things with merch before somebody else steals to give him one of these, give him one of those.
Yeah.
I'm going to patent that because that actually is my slogan. We were sitting, like I said, Luce would tell us, here's what we're going to do. We were sitting behind the curtain and I go, I'm going to give him one of these and give him one of those. And then we took it from that. I think we're going to do some merch with that, some t-shirts or something like that. and just, you know, just stay out there, and I enjoy it. I mean, that thing taking off, I can't believe there's comments every day on it. It amazes me. And yeah. most of them are positive and they're good.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I want to grow the YouTube channel. So that's kind of like, and you know, I'm envious of guys like you. I've had the Dan and Benny in the ring. They wanted me to do a podcast with them and to be a host. So I'm not sure, you know, I've gotten into this whole world. I watch Jim Cornette's. I listen to his podcast.
Yep.
And you know, I'm maybe thinking about something like that. I'm not quite sure, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of like when I got out. I'm like, you know what? I need to transition. And I always thought, well, hell, I was always the talker. I knew how to talk. That was what I did. That's how I made my career.
Right.
So I thought, I'll do this, and here we are. And I can always talk, and I love talking to guys like you. I love hearing the stories. I love just chatting. You know, two guys, you know, who it's weird, right? We're apart, right? We never work together. We're in the same area. We're a little bit apart in age, but we do have a lot of commonality that we can talk about. And I love connecting.
Yes, we do.
And I love hearing that. That's the side of the business I love, and I love preserving and hearing about. And it's so fun. And that's what I always tell people. When they're going to come on here, it's like, no pressure. I just come on and chat with me, tell some stories. It's just like two guys sitting around having a beer and having some fun.
Well, I'm going to tell my son when I cross the Rainbow Bridge, you get all my original VHS tapes. How's that? I promise you that.
I love it. Documented.
They're still upstairs
on audio. I've got that documented now. So yeah. Well,
Eric's sitting in the other room. He's heard it to me. So,
well, and I can assure you, they would be
in a good
home.
I want them to go somewhere where they'll be appreciated.
Do me
a favor. Send me your address on direct message. I'll put together a package for you.
Sounds great. I will do that. And my next question, right as we wrap up here, obviously a lot of guys, maybe what listeners would like to know more about you. Follow what you do. I would direct them first. Hey, go out there, look up Sinister Minister Fear on YouTube, subscribe to that channel. There's some cool stuff there, some more cool stuff to come. I think that would be the first step. But is there other things that you would advise people that want to keep track of you, where they would follow you, where they should follow you at?
Well, they could friend request me on Facebook. I've been getting a lot more people that I noticed they're in their fans, or they're actually active in the wrestling business.
Yep.
I'll get a friend request, because I'll notice that they their common friend is Dave Dynasty or Rick Del Sano. Through Facebook or YouTube, if we're Facebook friends, they can direct message me. I'll be more than happy to send them an 8x10 note free of charge. I got some great ones. Like I said, I don't do none of this for the money. Although when we promote the merch, that will do for the money.
That's right. That's right. So, well, there you go. Like I said, there's so much cool stuff out there on your YouTube channel, some fun stuff, more to come. So I would advise everybody go do that. Go subscribe. We talk about the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. I plug that all the time. Go subscribe to that. You can see lots of the Sinister Minister of Fear on there. And other stuff, but there's just so much stuff on there. It's such a cool service.
Remember that the last thing I want to say to everybody on here, I'm the Sinister Minister of Fear, and you're not.
That's right. That was it always reminds me of my catchphrase always was, it must suck not to be me. And that's what I always said. And it's so funny. It's so funny because I would get razzed so many people, like, you know, really, that's kind of cocky. And I'm like, well, I'm a heel. I'm supposed to be cocky. So I used to always say that.
Right.
It was fun.
Exactly.
It was fun. But what a fun business. Bob, we'll have to have you on again. Talk some more, share some more stories.
Yes.
Get some more updates. But it was good. I apologize that it took so long to connect. You and I have exchanged messages and talked for a long time. And I should have had John before.
This has been a highlight for me. I when I told my son, I go, you never, Dave Dynasty asked me to be a guest. And my son, you're going to do it? I said, of course I'm going to do it, man. I never met him, but I love the guy. So
that's right.
Like we do, That's what it is, man.
That's right. Yeah, I mean,
so we're hooked for life, brother.
And we are. You can never let it go. And I love it. Again, my favorite part is talking to guys like you and hearing these old school stories and memories and just chatting. And this has been a blast. And again, I'll love to have you on again in the future.
Yes, sir.
Everybody go subscribe to Bob on
okay,
YouTube.
Brother.
I'll put a link in the show notes so it makes it easy for everybody. You just click the link, bam, right there, subscribe to him. And once you get that merch up and rolling, I'll share all that. But it's been great to talk to you. Great to have you on.
Thank you.
And of course, we'll stay in contact. I don't have to worry about that. You and I will exchange messages and chat all the time. So,
right.
But thank you for giving me your time
all right,
and
Double
coming
D.
on.
Double D, you take care, brother.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here. Lots of new stuff happening here at WrestleCopia. If you haven't checked out our website at WrestleCopia.com, it's a great way to keep up with the latest episodes of all of your favorite Copia programming, from the Wrestling Memory Grenade to Regional Wrestling with the Territory Talk, the Wrestling Stoop with the legendary Bob Roop, and of course all of those programs also available at your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you want to stay up to date with everything going on in the Copia world, all the latest news, random thoughts, fun videos, pictures, and more, make sure to join the more than 33,000 followers over at facebook.com/wrestlinggrenade. Don't be left out. And last, but definitely not least, it's what keeps the entire machine going. I'm talking about patreon.com/wrestlecopia. We appreciate your support in helping us pay the bills, keep the WrestleCopia Podcast Network running and enabling us to continue to bring you all the quality programming that we offer.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
All right, and thank you to Bob for coming on and doing the show. Great chatting with him. We'll have him back on in the future to tell more stories and talk a little more. Guys, follow me on social media. I'm on all the platforms. All you gotta do is look up The Dave Dynasty or Nostalgic Dave Dynasty, and you'll find me there. Also, be sure to go check out my friends at the WrestleCopia Network of Podcasts. The shows are all fun listens that shine a light on wrestling history. You can go to WrestleCopia.com, or you can look up the individual shows on your favorite podcast platform. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Go to ClassicWrestling.net, and sign up for their service. And then download the Ultimate Classic Wrestling app on all of your smart devices. All right, guys. Next episode, I will be joined by Tony Garea. We talk about his career, working for both Vince's, his tag team partners, his love of rugby, and much, much more. So tune in next episode for that interview. That's it for this one, guys. And remember, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.
Wrestling Nostalgia is copyright Dave Dynasty, Bruiser voice done by John Lawson.